Okay, we're live. Well, everyone, I want to welcome you to another episode of the Charity Charge Show today. I'm honored and super excited to have a friend of mine that I've gotten to know through the Charity Charge community, who's a cardholder himself, Sam Porritt, the founder of Falling Forward Foundation. Sam, thank you for being on the line with me.
Hey, Stephen, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, and I was just saying, I try to make this as much kind of behind the scenes and community involvement as much as possible as we run stuff here at Charity Charge, but so many of these podcasts I've done in person or in at our studio or face-to-face at different nonprofit offices around the country, we're trying to scale things a bit. So I appreciate you being one of the first ones we've done here on Zoom. So thank you so much.
Hey, not a problem. We Falling Forward is operating the same way. We keep things as simple as possible. So happy to do it this way.
Well, and I know, like, starting with that too, I mean, I really wanted to, you're a very special person to me as well, because I have to tell you from the bottom of my heart that I moved, quite frankly, on a daily and a weekly basis by the different people running organizations that I interact with. And, you know, when I first, you know, was connected with you, we were chatting on the phone, and prior to that, I had hopped on the site, and I didn't realize at the time when the call was initially set up, this might have even been 2 years ago or so, that you were the founder of Falling Forward. And the more I read about your own story, and we spoke on the phone about why you're doing what you're doing and your personal experience, it was unbelievably inspiring to me. And it's something that I haven't forgotten. And so with that being said, I to our audience and anyone listening, can you tell us a little bit about your background, your personal experience, and what led you to start the foundation?
So absolutely. But first I'm going to say, wow, like what you just said, Stephen, really means a lot to me, because I know you do interact with a whole lot of people all over the U.S. doing all kinds of great things through nonprofit organizations. So for our meeting and our conversation to stand out for you like it did, it really, truly does mean a lot. So I appreciate that very much. So, my story in a nutshell. So I was, what I would hope to believe was just kind of a average American guy, you know, in a big corporate career, you know, successful, and on vacation in Italy with my wife. And then tragedy struck. While on vacation, I was taking a photograph. I was standing too close to the edge of a wall. While I was taking the photograph, I lost my balance and I fell off this 15-foot wall. And what went from this dream vacation suddenly became, you know, a day that forever changed my life. And I had a spinal cord injury from the fall. I was paralyzed from the belly button down. I'll forever remember when I regained consciousness and I am kind of trying to figure out what happened to me. You know, I suddenly realized that I have no feeling from the belly button down and no movement in the lower half of my body. And truly, a catastrophic event like that really does change your life. I didn't know what my future was going to be. I had a lot of emergency medical attention in Italy. I had a great surgery over in Italy. And long story short, I went through 2 years of rehab to learn to walk again and to be able to walk. And for a spinal cord injury, that's a really great outcome, to be able to walk again. And many people who have spinal cord injuries don't ever walk again. So I'm super grateful that, you know, because of the great medical attention I had and all the rehab I got, I walk again. But what was really key to that, and I knew nothing about, and this is, you know, why I started Falling Forward. And Stephen, I do think this is true of many people in the nonprofit world, of, you know, something terrible happens to them or their family, and then they are motivated by that experience to want to help other people. And that's my story of, I had this bad accident. I had to go through all this rehab. I went through 2 years of rehab, as I said, you know, daily physical therapy to learn to walk again. And what I learned about rehab, and most people don't know, and I was one of those people that didn't know, is insurance, typical medical insurance, does not cover much rehab. There's a term in most insurance policies that says after so many sessions of going to rehab, 20 or 30 or however many sessions, you're done. We're not going to pay anymore. And if you have a brain injury, like from a car accident, or spinal cord injury like mine, or a stroke, you know, one of these really awful things happen to you, you need a whole lot more rehab than those 20 to 30 visits that insurance will cover. Why I got 2 years of rehab is we had this truly fluke in our insurance. We did not know it. It turned out we had this policy that is a very, very rare policy, and our policy said no limit on rehab. So completely unknown to me, this issue of insurance limiting rehab. I then have this tragic accident and then find out I'm like the one in a hundred people who has the insurance that will actually pay for the rehab that I needed. So that's why I'm walking today. And after I got what I really believe was a gift given to me, you know, this insurance that nobody else gets, insurance coverage that nobody else gets. You know, after I got that gift, I said, I want to do something about this. And that's falling forward is, you know, starting a nonprofit organization to raise money to help people with their rehab when their insurance cuts them off. But we're also trying to get, you know, laws changed, and we're doing advocacy work to try and get this changed so everybody gets the chance that I had.
It's a really powerful example, and I think a reminder of when people are faced with, you know, adversity and something that is really a nightmare scenario, how you're able to transform that into something powerful. It's really awesome what you've been able to take something that could have been, or just try to make something powerful out of tragedy, you know, that you faced, and your example is, quite unique, you know, in the sense of how you were kind of one of the lucky few that had that, I wouldn't even call it like a loophole, but just kind of were in that insurance plan that you didn't even know you had.
Right.
So right. I think it's amazing how you've been able to dedicate now your life to running Falling Forward Foundation and help others. I'm curious, are there any specific examples? I know I've been on your site and we've talked about a few of the individuals you'd help, but anyone that you might want to bring up as kind of an anecdote to give a practical example of some of the individuals that have benefited through your foundation?
Yeah. So, you know, it's honest. So we've helped just over 100 people now, which, you know, 100 is not a huge number compared to the number of people out there who really need this kind of help. But, you know, 100 is the start for us. We're proud of that. We just crossed that milestone. So
Well, I was saying congratulations to you, and we're going to, it allows me for my next question, but please move forward with what you were going to share.
Yeah. But why I bring up the 100 thing is, you know, in those 100, there's lots of great stories. And, you know, to your question, you know, when I'm asked to pull one of them out, it's tough for me because so many of them are so meaningful to me. But yes, there's one, and it is a young man named Caden, and Caden was 15. He was out with two of his buddies driving around in the car, and they have this horrible car accident, right? But, you know, what do teenagers do? They ride around in cars, and unfortunately, these three guys, you know, have this terrible car accident. Well, Caden's two friends walked away from the accident, you know, scrapes and bruises, but they walked away from the accident. Caden, unfortunately, had a spinal cord injury worse than mine, far worse than mine, because he was paralyzed from the shoulders down, right? So in the blink of an eye, 15-year-old kid, you know, tragic accident, potentially his life forever changed. Because he got the really great rehab and as much rehab as he needed, he is now living a fully normal life. He has graduated from high school. He's now a sophomore in college. He's living, you know, he moved to college. He's living independently in an apartment at his college. He walks, he plays golf. He does stand-up paddle boarding. You know, we have this picture on our website of, you know, somebody who was paralyzed by a spinal cord injury, never thought he would walk again, and today he's stand-up paddleboarding, which if you or any of the listeners out there have ever tried stand-up paddleboarding, it's not easy.
Difficult. We got plenty of that down here in Austin, Texas. Yeah, and I've walked plenty of time into the lake.
Right. I did it once prior to my injury, right? So I appreciate how difficult it is. And here's this kid who, you know, it's just, it's such a great example of if he had not gotten that rehab, he wouldn't be driving a car. He wouldn't be living independently. He wouldn't be in college and able to do things like stand up paddleboarding. So, you know, rehab works. There's no question. Nobody in the world questions that rehab works. The issue is if insurance will pay for it or not. And will you get as much rehab as you need to be able to get your life back? So, and we're really thankful that we could help Caden.
I think it's it highlights, you know, one of the hundred that you talked about there. And what I think too, Sam, just kind of opening up the conversation a bit, because very much, you know, our mission here at Charity Charge is trying to elevate organizations and also inspire and help others that are thinking of starting a nonprofit or scaling their nonprofit. And I think you're in a really exciting spot, and I'm really, you know, humbled and really, I overuse the word, but excited to continue our friendship because of where, you know, you're going to go now beyond as you think of going from 100 to 200 to 500 to 1,000, figure out other partnerships and collaborations the advocacy side is great. One question that I had for you is, as you reflect back, I know it's kind of a large question, but going from like the idea, right, of having your own personal experience to now being at 100, you know, what are some of the, I would almost call it like mistakes or like big lessons learned. If you could have a conversation with Sam from, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, what would you tell him now that you wish you had known that you would have maybe done differently to help get you further along faster or with more ease, less stress, things like that?
Yep. So, those come to mind for me pretty quickly because we had our 5-year anniversary actually more than a year ago. We're now over 6 years operating. But at the 5-year anniversary, it caused me to be really reflective and, you know, look back and look for those lessons and things that I wish I'd known. And honestly, the biggest one for me was that this is happening much slower than I had originally anticipated, right? Building this is much slower. Getting traction on this is much slower than I anticipated. And I think the biggest reason for that, you know, misperception or wrong expectation on my part was I was coming out of the corporate world and I was used to having the resources that I had in the corporate world, you know, big budgets and big staff and, you know, lots of firepower, if you will. And nonprofits don't operate that way. They can't, they don't have the richness of resources. So everything is more, by favors and volunteerism and, you know, by the skin of your teeth, you know, you get things done. And so the process is much slower. The other related lesson to that is raising money is hard, and it's harder than I thought it was. And my big conclusion of why it's so hard to raise money is not that there are not generous people out there, because there are many generous people out there. And, you know, you look at the giving data and the U.S. is an incredibly giving, generous nation. But the reality is there's way more need in the world than there is money, you know, coming into the nonprofit world. There's virtually no bad need out there that people, you know, don't want to support. You hear about homelessness, you know, yes, we need to address that. You hear about animal cruelty, yes, we need to address that. You hear about, you know, addiction issues, yes, we need to address that. You know, every single, you know, thing that's out there people raising money for, they're all legitimate, urgent needs. And so it's so hard to raise money because there's so many, you know, really important needs out there. And here I come to the table with a new one that no one has ever heard of before, right? That very few people, you know, are aware of this issue, this insurance issue on rehab. So I've got a big education curve when I first get somebody's attention of, hi, you know, listen to me, falling forward. You've never heard of us before. Let me tell you about us, right? There's a real education curve. You know, I can't say veteran and people go, click, I got it. They help veterans, right? Or I can't say cancer and click, I got it. They help people, you know, recovering from cancer. You know, there's many, many causes out there that their story or their mission is, you know, widely understood, and ours is, you know, starting from scratch. So
I mean, it's just curious on that. Really riffing with you here. I'm totally with you on this concept of the challenges of educating the market on a new product or service. You know, it's almost, you know, in a sense, it's almost easier to go into an existing addressable market, you know, and in your case, having to create awareness about your cause area, totally get that.
Right. Stephen, you've done the same thing, right?
Well,
you developed an innovative card that no one knew, you know, there was nothing like it before, and you had to educate the world on that.
That's where I'm, so you and I are going, so play with me here for a second. I get the challenge that you're putting out there. I'm curious that even though knowing it's a challenge, what are some of the things you've done, or say someone was creating a new kind of cause area, so to speak, like what advice would you give them? Like, understood that that's a challenge, but any practical things that you've figured out are helpful to kind of educate or grow that awareness, even knowing that it is a challenge?
Yeah.
So
we have found that the people who are most interested in giving have some connection to rehab. So, which sounds incredibly obvious, right? But they either have had a personal experience themselves, or in their family, or a friend. You know, they have knowledge of this issue of rehab. And what it's like to go through it and how long it takes to recover. And, you know, so they get it, they get the issue, or they somehow have a professional relationship, right? They are a doctor or nurse or somebody in the healthcare arena that, you know, has a professional relationship and they understand it as well. You know, those pools of people, are the most interested in, also the most helpful, right? Most helpful through giving, but also most helpful through referral, opening another door, you know, hey, you should talk to, I want to introduce you to, you know, because they know other people who have similar interest. So I was used to my background, you know, I talked earlier about my corporate background, but I didn't mention, you know, I'm a marketing guy by background. I was used to big mass marketing, you know, very broad, big market marketing, Super Bowl commercials, that kind of stuff.
Did you catch the charity chart Super Bowl ad?
Say that again.
I said, did you catch our Super Bowl ad on Sunday?
I did not. Were you on a national feed?
Oh, I'm joking with you. Unfortunately, we don't have the budget for it this year, so. Plug for charity charge. You know, if you know any nonprofits, tell them about us. Yeah.
Sorry.
We hope to have a budget next year, though, for the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
So I
was used to really mass broad marketing, and you know, this is very micro targeted marketing. You know, really finding those pockets and pools of people who have experience with rehab or personal connection to the cause. And so the education curve is shorter.
And what about the flip side of it? I mean, we just spent, which is equally or extremely important, obviously, the fundraising side of it. But how are people finding you? So you've talked about the 100 individuals that you've served.
Yep.
And you've had some pretty amazing outcomes in terms of
kind
of where they are and where they were and where they are now. How are people finding you? when they need help? How are you getting the word out about that?
Yeah. So, people are finding us a couple ways. So I will give credit to, and I'll use Caden, the young man whose story I told earlier, I'll use Caden as the example, right? When he and his family went through this, right? This was all new to them, right? They knew nothing about rehab. They had never had this experience before, nor had anybody, you know, in their church or their circle of friends, right? So suddenly there's this whole, you know, group of people that, because it happened to Caden and they care about him or his family, or, you know, have a relationship to him or his family, suddenly they become interested in it and they follow on social media and they see our posts on social media. And, you know, so there's an attraction, unfortunately, you know, but it's because of, you know, somebody that you know or love having had that experience, and you're attracted to us by that. But to your question about how people who need help or need services from us, how they find us, Google works wonders. I'm amazed. Virtually every day, I am amazed by, you know, another person who finds us, and I say, "How did you learn about us?" And they're like, "Oh, I did a Google search." And so, you know, we're coming up in Google searches, and we played a little bit with free advertising through the Google for Nonprofit program. You know, we still have, you know, some of that activity out there, but I'm not going to say that that's what's drawing people to us per se. But I know search is drawing people to us. You know, if tragedy has struck and they're, you know, searching late at night and going, you know, what do we do to help people? My son just had a brain injury, and they're typing in brain injury and, you know, looking for resources. You know, we're popping up in some of those searches, and I'm getting calls and emails from people as a result of that.
That's awesome. We've got so many groups that have found us through the same ways, and it's kind of funny being sitting here running Charity Charge and starting it. It is pretty unbelievable in 2020 what's available to you, the tools that you know, didn't exist even 20 years ago, or really at scale within the past 5 or 10 years in terms of the internet, social media, and all that. So it's really amazing. Hey, I wanted to, as we're talking about this, you know, I've been really impressed as I've talked to you a little bit about it, and I even pulled it up right in front of me, is the section on your website where you have your governing board. And a lot of these individuals that are on here seem, you know, extremely accomplished in a variety of things, including, you know, the medical field. So I'm just curious, as the founder of Falling Forward, how have you thought about assembling an ideal board, and really, in your opinion, how has the board served the foundation, and what are kind of some of your lessons learned for trying to grow and have a board that's committed to the cause?
So, Stephen, if we were sitting face to face, you would see a huge smile on my face as you're asking that question. It's almost like you read my mind when you asked earlier about some of my learnings, right, on what I wish I'd known before I started the foundation. This is another one of the biggies of it. The importance of your board can't be overstated. It just can't be overstated. And I knew nothing about putting together a board, and I'm embarrassed to say this, and I admit it publicly, you know, when I speak publicly now, but prior to my starting Falling Forward, I had never volunteered. I'd never served on the board of a nonprofit organization. So shame on me, right? That I had not raised my hand and done that. But also shame on me, because now I'm starting a nonprofit organization, and I'm going to now put together a board and quote unquote manage a board. But as I said earlier, I've never served on a board before. So I am like the blind.
Hey, Sam, just on that point, I want to interrupt in a positive way just to say with you, because as much as possible, other people are listening to this. I have found that probably the most important thing is just starting. We all get like overwhelmed by not knowing everything and not being important enough. So I would be remiss if I just didn't chime in to say, love the direction you're going, and you know, it's amazing. But I think the beauty that I can see in you, that, you know, we're always sometimes too close to it for ourselves, is that you started without, you didn't know everything, and that's okay. You figure it out as you go. So I give the floor back to you, but I give you that praise and I guess peace of mind.
Thank you. And Stephen, I think that may be one of the reasons you and I have connected and so enjoyed talking with one another and having the conversation we've had, because what you just said is something that is true of both of us, right? Of, if you look at the pattern through my whole life, I have erred on the side of acting quickly versus waiting, and you know the whole analogy of ready, aim, fire, right? I fire prematurely sometimes, right? I haven't done all the ready and aim part. I just fire. And starting falling forward, there's a whole lot of that in the way I started falling forward. But I felt the urgency of this issue, that it needed to be addressed. And I'm like, we're just going to get it going, and I'm going to learn. And, you know, if I mess up, I mess up. But, you know, we'll adjust. We'll, you know, shift as we need to. But with regard to the board, back to your question about the board, I look back on the initial board that I put together and today go, ugh, what was I thinking, right? I put the board together functionally. You know, I looked for people who had, you know, specific skill sets, a marketing background, an accounting background, a law background, etc. And that's not wrong, right? You need people with different skill sets and different areas of expertise. But what I did miss, and what you don't see when you read bios on people, what I've now learned, what is most important for a board member of a nonprofit organization, is that they like talking to people, right? That they are extroverted, that they are connectors, that they like connecting people, they like making introductions. They like setting up a lunch or a coffee or a meeting, right, to tell, you know, somebody about this board that I'm serving on for falling forward, right? They open doors. And ultimately, opening doors and making connections, I think, is the biggest thing that board members do for nonprofit organizations. They get you into, you know, a new conversation so you can tell the story about your organization. So, you know, that is a skill set that not everybody has. Some people, you know, really enjoy making new connections and introductions and are more extroverted, and other people just the opposite, right? And so over time, you know, I've learned that. And over time, you know, we've found more people to come onto our board who enjoy that and are helpful now in opening doors and introducing falling forward. And as you said, you kindly commented on, you know, some of the people that we have on the board now. We do have some real horsepower. We've got, you know, a couple doctors who are very seasoned rehab doctors, you know, long in the practice of rehab. Interestingly, one of those two doctors that's, you know, a rehab doctor today, he had, as a teenager, he had a rehab experience of his own, you know, near-death experience, which caused him to go into becoming a rehab doctor. So, you know, he's got true passion for this issue. So it's finding people like that who have the right skill sets, have the right passion, and want to be really helpful. It's opening doors and making connections.
I'm really glad you said that, you know, because one of the things that I've been trying to figure out as well too, is when I sit back and I hear from you and other, you know, leaders of nonprofits, I'm trying to constantly take kind of the best practices and all the wonderful things about that I'm learning, and how do we apply that to Charity Charge? And I wrote out, you know, connectors, opening doors, making connections, new conversations, you know, I've been trying to play with how to create some sort of advisory council for Charity Charge itself. And we need those same things too, just like you do and any organization does. And I think that it all starts with that awareness, right? And leveraging, bringing more people in to learn more about Falling Forward or more about Charity Charge or whatever their respective, you know, organization yes. cause is, and kind of mobilizing that. Yes. So I'm learning a ton from you, and I really appreciate it. That was really practical advice.
Thanks.
So
happy to share it.
Yeah, of course. You know, just curious, you know, if, you know, for people that are following along, I'm going to let them know that if you're interested in learning more, the website for Falling Forward is fallingforward.org. Sam, are there other ways that if people are interested in getting involved, they may contact you or other places you would point them if they're interested in helping out the foundation in whatever ways you may?
Yeah, absolutely. So social media, you know, I mentioned social media earlier. We're on three platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So if any of the listeners, you know, are on any or all those platforms, you know, we'd love if they would follow us, become a friend, follower, a fan, you know, help us spread the message through social media. And obviously by following us, they'll learn more about what we're doing.
I got to say, I'm embarrassed. I just followed you on Instagram. I didn't realize I wasn't. So you got
no worries. Good. No worries. But then the other thing, you know, I would be delighted if there's somebody out there who has an idea for us, or, you know, a potential connection they'd like to help us make, or just a question they want to bounce. I'm happy to take calls or emails, and my contact info is on the website. It's at the bottom of, you know, every page on our website, both the email and phone number. And I take those calls and emails directly. So happy if anybody wants to reach out.
I think it's amazing. And I think what's so cool is what you've been able to do over the past 6 years, coming back to kind of full circle in this conversation of having your own personal experience, being inspired by that to help others. And then here you are, and we're able to share with our audience how you've helped, you know, 100 individuals that, you know, were injured, were not getting the proper level of care, did not have proper continuation of their insurance coverage. And some of these examples that you shared of today, it's really inspiring. And I really encourage anyone, you know, I've personally gotten a chance to get to know Sam over the past couple of years, and he's a cardholder using his card to fund Falling Forward. I encourage you all to check out fallingforward.org and get involved and support them. So, Sam, I really thank you for being on the podcast and sharing your story and being a part of the Charity Charge community.
Stephen, it's really a pleasure, and I'm really grateful for this opportunity. You know, every new opportunity like this, you know, we plant seeds, we meet some new people, you know, the message spreads, and that helps us immensely. So really grateful to you for this opportunity.
It's our pleasure. And to everyone that's continuing to follow along to the Charity Charge show, it's really been an honor and a privilege to be able to do this. So thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, take care.